Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Forever Dog.
The goody goody.
Sabrina Jellies. The goody goody. You're listening to the goody goody. Today's guest is
Megan Daly.
The Mighty.
Yeah, she's done late night several times. She's sold several shows. You know her from that almond commercial that she banked some cash on. How much money did she make on that? That's a big number, baby. Yeah, and we went to Palm Springs for her wedding. Wasn't that fun? All right, guys. Tune in. Tune out. How good can you play tennis?
Very good.
Have you seen my videos?
Yeah. I think we would. I mean, that's the thing. It's like,
why haven't you come for me?
Well, because it seems like you've got a tennis crew.
No, I don't have a tennis. I'm paying people to play tennis with me.
Oh, well, then I'll play with you. I got a new racket, and it was truly like Goldilocks. There was one that was like very expensive, one that was very cheap, and one that was in the middle. And I was like, that's for me. Yeah.
Tastes like mine. And then you got it strung.
It was already strung. I bought it at the Big Five. I mean, I was doing big box buying.
Okay. But you're going to hit consistently back to me. And we're
absolutely.
Do you think you're going to beat me?
No, because I tend to choke in competitive situations. Like my dad would always say about my tennis, he was like, you're the best practice player I've ever seen, aka in my own family.
Yes.
But you get in that match and boy, do you shit the bed. Like,
really?
Yeah, because I just like would choke.
You know what's interesting? I felt like I was always bad until people were watching, and then I always tied that to stand-up, but you're such an excellent stand-up, especially under pressure situations.
I used to be a choker, though.
Oh,
Lisa
really?
Can tell you, yeah, when we used to do like JFL auditions back in Chicago, I
remember
used to choke.
Choking?
Yes, I bombed last week in an important situation.
Were you dead?
Yes!
I love you. You know, it's just what happens to us in those moments. Yeah, I'm not going to pretend like I don't choke in important situations either. It's like
I used to choke so much more. And like that, honestly, last week when I bombed, and I mean, it wasn't important. I just bombed at the comedy store.
Yeah.
Which is like, you know, I went up after Joe Rogan. So it's
I think
like,
you really have to have a who cares attitude.
Yes.
Yes.
But that's actually what helps you like not choke.
Is the who cares
and
attitude.
In tennis,
the choking is an amalgam of like,
I care. But I care so, and like, I think you're taught in sports, like when you're watching it, like they loved that, you know, like Kobe has been like a huge lesson in that of like, he loved basketball so much that he was always able to rise the occasion.
Yeah.
And so like, as a young child, you're like, I can do that too. And it's like, oh no, I don't have that instinct. Like when I think something matters and is so important to me.
Yeah.
My natural instinct is to crumble, unfortunately. I've had to like program myself to not do that.
In your personal life too?
No, in my personal life. I kill it every time.
Who cares? You care, bitch.
I do miss dating because I could go on a date with someone I hated and fucking crush it still.
Okay, speaking of you not dating anymore, I was at your wedding. It was so fucking beautiful. It was so sweet to be a part of it. Thank you for inviting us.
I really feel like it was so magical.
It was really, really beautiful.
We haven't even gotten the photos back yet. Like, that's how soon it has been.
Yeah, when was it?
December 14th.
Oh my God.
I know.
And it was everything that
it was really, everything
exceeded.
You're
like in that straight world community though, have been to wedding. I imagine in your life, you've been to a lot of weddings. You had a lot of moments to imagine what it would look like for you.
And the thing is, I didn't even have like a clear vision, but I knew what I liked and didn't like. Like I knew I was never going to toss a bouquet. Like yes. that wasn't gonna, like they were just like, I was like, I don't want to see a mason jar. Like there were things that I was like, I just don't want it to, I, and so then that sort of came together. But also we had a like very, very high end wedding planner, you know? So I would just kind of like say things to her and she, and I'd be like, does that make sense? And she's like, sure. Yeah, I can make that happen.
She's just like whisper in her radio, like return the mason yes. jars.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But she like was good at knowing a vibe. But I also, CJ, my husband is
what's her
so,
name?
Why did I forget her name?
You crumble.
Her name is Ashley Poor.
Okay.
It's BK Events. Her sister is Whitney Poor of Hills fame.
Yeah, and also of recent pop culture note yeah. of like them being like, yeah, our kid's queer and like do I think it's like is it I He's, think it's cis like born cis dude but really? Wearing dresses and they're like, yeah, we love it.
He's
maybe
two.
I can too?
Yeah, he's two.
Yeah,
is that not? Sunny?
I think
cutie has really cute blonde curls.
Yeah.
They're also someone they're I don't know them, but like I feel like I know them just from like talking to their sister.
Yeah.
And they like Wolfie's hair is so pretty and they're like that too of like, oh, we don't want to cut his hair. It's so beautiful.
Yeah. I think we're gonna cut his hair soon though.
You're gonna give him a faux hawk?
Something.
That's a real
he's gonna get something.
There's a lot of toddlers in Indiana with faux hawks.
No faux
and
hawk
like
then.
Blue. The
faux
at
hawk
the front.
Is the mason jar of the baby.
Oh,
head.
The faux hawk is the child of Trump voters.
Okay, we've gotta go back to the wedding. So you knew what you didn't want, you had a good wedding planner, but then the moment I wanna talk about the moment when like what was the moment when you were like, and I'm here at the wedding? Because like for, well, you must have been there at the wedding. Actually, you had a lot of support around mm-hmm. you. But like for us, it was like, it wasn't until we were walking towards our people.
Yeah.
To me, that was like the moment that I was like, oh my God, like this is happening.
I think I felt like we went, we did a big family dinner mm-hmm. of seat because our rehearsal dinner, everybody was invited. And that was also something that was important to me.
Yeah.
So the Thursday before we all went out to eat. And when I see my nieces and nephew playing with CJ's niece, yeah. I'm like, something cute is happening. Something good yeah. is happening. CJ did a wonderful thing. Oh, there's a workman now. The night we got engaged, he surprised me and flew his whole family to Indianapolis to meet my family for the first time.
That is so.
And it was so, I got so drunk, I puked the bed at my parents' house. So I smoked weed inside of a restaurant in Indianapolis, which is like definitely not allowed. Just like in the bathroom smoking weed.
Excuse me, ma'am. You will shut down my family's restaurant of 40 years.
So I was really on one. But yeah, when I see our families together, that's when I sort of was like, wow, this is.
And it's such a cute blend because his family is
Filipino.
You said it first.
They're
and your family
fully,
is
fully Irish, very white
people that yeah. feel wealthy. Like you played tennis in a club.
I played tennis and
not
golf growing up.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, yeah. They're. I mean, my parents live in a gated neighborhood, but his parents.
And the gates are specifically to keep out Filipinos.
I think there's actually, there was, they have this magazine in my parents' neighborhood that's called Living Behind the Gates.
No fucking
yes.
way.
Oh, it's like, it is my dream
living
to be in
Living Behind
it.
The Gates?
Living Behind the Gates. And there was a family.
They're like so out of touch.
They're very out of touch.
Anyone find a problem with this title? No.
My mom was so concerned when they were looking at the neighborhood that it had like a racist decree somewhere that she asked to see like the founding papers of the gated neighborhood. Because she was like, I don't want to be in this neighborhood if it's racist. And it's like, well, honey, I mean, the undertone. But they live across the street from a very famous basketball player who's black. So I think they're so, like, we'll let you in if you're a very famous basketball player.
Well, it's just like the money. It's the financial.
Oh, development. But why I bring up Living Behind the Gates on the cover
call
ones.
Mommy. Just because you said mom, it has an effect that says mom.
On the cover of Living Behind the Gates once was a white family that had adopted two Asian daughters. And my mom was like, see?
And every year they give them one of the covers.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm like, why can't I be on the cover? Put CJ and me on the cover.
You should definitely be on the cover by now. Do they still live behind the gates?
Yes.
Okay, well, let's get you on the cover.
Or at least just like a feature inside of it.
I have several listeners that live behind gates in Indianapolis, and I want you guys to campaign. I want
Please.
You on Twitter, all right? I love turning to the audience as if there's just a huge mass.
I do love a live podcast.
You do a live podcast, don't you? What's that political one?
No, we do it.
What is it called?
It's called Hysteria.
Yeah.
But then I do Love It or Leave It, which is like on the same network.
I also did it and I
loved it.
Did Crumble.
You did Crumble?
Well, I didn't necessarily crumble, but I didn't humble. I didn't walk in knowing that it was political.
Yeah, and there's a lot to know.
There's a lot to know. And so they said something, they said Adam Schiff's name, and I was like, Adam who? And then the crowd was just like, this dumb bitch, get her off the stage.
Yeah, that's a frightening.
Well, the comments are, they did not.
Oh, the comments.
But some people were rallying for me. Some people were like, let her, this dumb
it's
bitch
nice
finish.
To have all perspectives. Yeah. Listen, we need to listen to the dumb bitches because at the end of the day, that's actually who does vote.
Yes.
Or who we need to vote.
Do you feel like you know a lot about politics? Enough.
I know enough. CJ knows almost nothing. Mm-hmm. So like within our household, I am the daddy of the politics.
Yes, good.
But last week he's like, who's Amy Klobuchar?
I'm like, can you tell me who she is?
Yeah, she's running for president.
I know. And New York Times said it was like her, Elizabeth Warren and her. Yes. And that was like,
she's
why was that
Minnesota.
Controversial?
Well, because people don't like her, really. She's kind of, she had a like rise because she's a Midwestern moderate. She's from Minnesota. And I think... Oh,
so
I thought it
true.
Was snoring.
No, imagine. You fucking asshole. You just asked me to describe who she is one sentence in.
Well, Anthony does that on his show. He'll ask someone like a very intense question and then a giant, who cares, plays. And people are like he asked like Natasha Leggero, like, how have you been able to like balance motherhood in your career? And she starts to like earnestly answer and then a stamp of who cares. And it sounds like a gunshot and people are like, what the fuck is wrong with you?
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome.
Thank you. They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live at the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
So that's a plug for a show I write on.
Okay, that's, yeah, please watch that show.
Good talk.
Good talk. Good talk. And please, do you mind just telling me who Amy Klobuchar is?
Yeah, so she's just a...
You're ugly, and your mother ugly, and your sister ugly. You're just plain old ugly.
Well, she actually, she first like rose to prominence in my mind. She was like an integral part of the Kavanaugh hearing.
Oh.
She was the one, you know, they all got to ask him questions.
Yeah.
And they would like go, it would be like a Republican, a Democrat, a Republican, whatever. Mm-hmm. And so she asked him like, have you ever blacked out in your life? She may have said like a more specific, you know,
way
have you ever smashed out in your life?
Yeah.
And he goes,
smashed out.
He was like, have you? And she is the daughter of an alcoholic. And that's like a huge part of her identity, as it can be. And so then he came back when someone else was asking him questions and was like, I'd actually like to apologize. And went. She was like the only one that he had any amount of
remorse.
Yes. And it was because he just got like caught being snappy with her.
Yeah.
And
what
so
a
that's
loser.
Kind
that was
of
just such a fucking just truly like if you were acting and the stage directions were like guilty,
be insane,
and fucking pissy.
Yeah.
And yeah.
You watched the Below Deck reunion. Do you watch Below
Does
Deck?
Kavanaugh on it.
It's like truly a case study in misogyny.
Okay. Tell me why.
So the men on Below Deck this season were horrific. Like, at one point, Ashton is like trying to get Kate to make out with him. And then like 2 minutes later, snaps over something she said about his mom. But she didn't say anything about his mom to the point where he's like wasted punching a van door to the point it's almost breaking. And Kate's like, I got to get out of here. Like full on crazy. Like you would be like, this person cannot be around me anymore.
Yeah.
And then he's so drunk that the next day he's like, I don't remember, but I know you said something about my mom. Like one of those things where it's like, I'm going to defend my behavior. And then, so you see, there's four of them that were, I guess it was all four men and then the captain, he's a hero. Uh-huh. So the men would get so drunk and then they would come together the next day and sort of like piece together what they thought happened in a narrative that made them the victims and or just not look bad.
Uh-huh.
And then even presented with the season and seeing everything play out, they still were like, yeah, but you did this to make me mad. And it's like, no, you guys are like fundamentally flawed. Like they're incapable.
I guess there's
of
like a very mask under the like the blue. There's like blue and pink and masculine and feminine. And I feel sometimes like, can't you believe both? Sometimes I only not just pink, I blue. But like under the umbrella of masculinity is this sort of like, to the fucking end, I will believe what yes. I believe and I will not yeah. bend till the end.
It just also was, I guess the reunion was kind of like frightening. That's probably not the word, because these women had been saying it the whole time. Like, yeah. no, this is what you did. And we're watching it as viewers. Yes. We're seeing the flashbacks. We're watching everything. And then I thought they were all going to come into the reunion having seen it and be like, oh my God,
yeah.
I'm like changing my life. Like the Ashton was like, I started meeting with a therapist this week. And it's like the season started airing 6 months ago. Like you did one therapy session and that's like, you only did that because you're coming onto this. Captain Lee walked off. He was like, I can't deal with this.
He was pissed at the men.
I'm pissed.
Okay.
Because then they even, because he is defending the women. And he's actually just defending the people that are right. And it happens to be
the women,
like the female staff.
Yeah.
And he then, because of that, the men start questioning like his professionalism and how long he's worked in yachting. Just because he is questioning their behavior at all.
Oh, my God.
It's truly...
It is a wild
an actual
experiment.
Case study in misogyny, like watching how they react.
Well, I've been thinking, so with like prepping for this egg situation of like making an embryo out of my egg, I've had to like give blood tests and like take pills. And
do you
I'm
feel
gonna,
connected to Sheena right now?
I feel connected to She World right now. What's Sheena?
Sheena's freezing her eggs on
Vanderpump.
Oh, Sheena's
Vanderpump.
And
okay,
they kept
cool.
doing like a...
I thought it was like a Greek goddess of fertility.
They kept doing like a cut of just her being like, I'm freezing my eggs. I'm freezing my eggs. You know I'm freezing my eggs. Like,
I mean, it, but that. It is like all encompassing because it's like, has introduced me to this part of womanhood that being like gay and being, you know, the butcher side of gay... woman, I just haven't been like Shauna got pregnant and mm-hmm. Shauna, you know, there were times during her pregnancy with Wolfie where she like spotted and that was very emotional and I felt certainly very emotional, but like now I'm realizing how I can't even imagine how that must have felt for her mm-hmm. with her body
mm-hmm.
and like just the I love control.
Yeah.
Do you love control?
I do.
Yeah. Like I think everybody loves control. Like no one wants to be buckled into a seat yeah. and then be the Mini Cooper that just drove over the Mazda that you
stand up is like an artistic form of control too. Cause yeah. it's like, I'm talking, you're listening. And like
talking,
that is
you're listening. Like yes.
intense control.
That was actually like when I think about the, one of the like goody goody like drug feelings that I had when I first did stand up, it was like I had full control. I was this kid and like all these people had to listen to me
yeah.
for the 5 minutes.
Yeah. It's our
and
dream.
Then at the same time, yeah. At the same time it's the it's our rape. I mean we can't drive by that. We've gotta sound effect that. We've gotta punctuate it.
Silence, Earthling.
Stand up is our rape.
Epic fail.
Shut up. Shut
what
up.
What is this
Shut up.
App?
Don't tell them I'm doing it from an
oh,
app.
Oh, sorry.
You ugly.
I want them to picture
you're
like
ugly.
An accordion.
A guy.
And, like, ugly. Like, and your sister
yeah,
ugly.
Guy,
and
all these
man.
People here.
Ugly.
You okay. have like a fake producer character.
I have a fake producer.
Produce. Man, CJ always, whenever I say a word, he's like, what's a Padusa? And I'm like, come on, dog. If this was elementary school, you'd go to the principal's office for roasting my ass for not being able to say producer right.
Okay, wait. Let me just climb back onto the platform that we were on, which was...
Eggs.
Eggs control, lack of control, that being making me more connected to this idea of... I'm doing all this to make an embryo that Shauna will eventually put in her body. So there's also this aspect where it's like, how much can I complain about, like, I don't know what my blood test is going to say. And Shauna's like, bitch, I'm going to house this thing for a year.
Yeah.
Like, it's really a sliding scale of, I don't know. It makes me feel like yet again, you get older and you start realizing, like, my whole life I was like, why are moms crazy? And it's like, oh yeah, because their identities were kidnapped and like they were told that like raising a family would be the only thing that
gave them value.
And as it turns out, we all need identities beyond just what our relationships to our kids and our spouses are. But with the whole fertility thing and the unpredictability around it, it's like, oh yeah, like this is a part of just the world that women are going to be be crazy and men be pieces of shit. Mm-hmm. It's like another piece of evidence of like, yeah, this, because they're literally like, you know, the door to crazy is like right behind just the natural steps that you would walk to have a baby.
I mean, I also think at least we're allowed to talk about it now. Like,
yes.
My mom was like, postpartum, that wasn't even like in the vernacular. Like, you couldn't even.
No, I mean, because the generation before our moms were like getting their brains electrocuted for being like, I think I'm down.
Yeah. Like, it was called like baby blues,
like,
or something.
Get this bitch a nanny. Stop electrocuting her brain and let her fucking do a Sudoku by herself. Yeah.
Oh, if your husband just was like, you're a bitch. You're getting the chair. Like, they just had complete, and I'm like, I can't even, I just always think like, if I had been born at any different time or in any different country, I would have died at like 7. Like, yes, they would have been like, this bitch got to go.
There's this card game and there's like, the question comes up that's like, what era would you love to live in? And it's like, as
None.
Just like a fucking woman,
None.
I'd stay healthy and alive and not toasted right
here.
Listen,
I love the dresses of the 60s, but everything else bad. Like, I don't like watch Mad Men and be like, ooh, a ton, even though I've never seen it.
So just full,
but I know.
Full stop. I don't watch Mad Men.
I don't watch Mad Men, but I do see the outfits and I go, that looks fun. But also, I would never want to work there.
Perfect. Now it's time for
lessons.
Going back to the W, the wed. Mm-hmm. And also we can go broader with the lessons. The lessons can be anything. But what are your wedding lessons? Looking back, is there anything you would have done or that you're glad you did do?
You know, I had a friend disappoint me. I had a friendship.
I'm sorry.
I had
literally just couldn't hold you that high.
I wish it was you. No, I had a friendship dissolve over the course of planning the wedding.
I did too, kind of.
And like people say that. I mean, yeah, that I, after the bachelorette party, someone was
dropped
no longer
off
in my wedding.
Ooh.
I was like, love. You gotta get it together.
I listed it.
I mean, no, I actually gave her the option. Like, yeah. I was like, you just like can't behave that way. Like, you can't be mad at me. You can't be mean to me on my wedding day. Like, that's not gonna fly. And she was like, okay, I think we should just not be friends. I mean, obviously I'm giving like my
obviously
take.
It's your take. Yeah, like she's on a podcast right now being like, she burnt me with a roach.
Well, what's so nice is like, she'll never do a podcast. You know, she's like a normal person.
Yeah.
So I'm able
to
create
podcast,
the narrative.
Yeah.
You know, and the narrative is the bride is right and the bridesmaid is wrong.
You hired a PR person.
So the spin system and like that was terrible. And it was very, very sad for me. But in the course of that one person letting me down, I had like 12 people that so exceeded my expectations, like friends, my now husband, people, my family, my brothers, like all of these people that I always was like, oh, I love them. They mean so much to me. Like did so much went so above and beyond that I truly was like, I can't focus on this one
person.
Well,
it kind of like these big milestones like kind of mark a new era. And there is, you know, people always want to kind of frame. It's like, I'm too grown for that now. And I feel like it's that's sort of just like a black and white way of looking at it. But as you do evolve, you start falling less and less for the same tricks, you know.
Yeah, like, and I don't even know if I'm too grown for anything.
I'm not too grown for anything, for sure. And one thing actually that I've like grown into knowing or learning more is my my defensive instinct when I have a problem with a friend, even if it is like a big problem, to be like, they're dead to me.
Yeah,
is not actually real, because here you are still talking about that friend.
Right.
If that friend needed something and apologize, you would. I mean, like, it's not like you'd bend over backwards for someone who would, like, throw you over the edge. But, like, there's just, you lead with love, I'm sure.
Yes.
And if only because magnets say it.
Yeah.
I've
reached out to this person, like, multiple times since. I still invited her to the wedding, and she just didn't respond.
Yeah. So it's like you let go of this person.
Yeah.
Well, one person, I mean, I don't know if this is... I don't think the person would listen, or there was just basically when we were planning our wedding, someone who was upset that the wedding was on the person's
birthday
weekend.
Okay. But that's so that happens.
There's 52 weeks in a year. There's 100 people in a standard wedding. It's truly going to happen. So that was just like, and I don't think, I mean, like, to defend that person now, like, I have a friendly relationship with them now, but it just changed things for me, certainly. Yeah. And maybe other things that I did changed things for them, and maybe it was the way that I approached it or reacted when they reacted, but, like, it just, it definitely was like, okay, all right, so this is different now.
People, and, like, I guess I realize this now looking back on the weddings that I've been in, there's behavior that I would change too. Like everyone, you're like, this is my like day of love and like this important major thing. But everyone is bringing their own thing to it. Like
of
no
course.
One is coming in.
Everybody's taking time off work.
Blank slate. I'm here for loving you and nothing, you know, like even if that's their intention, there's someone at the wedding that they're like, oh, I don't like that. You know, like everyone has their own anxieties. And that was something that the people that I feel like I liked the most were able to like put their anxieties and their bullshit aside
and just
and have and like
enjoy.
That's not even just like selfishly like for me, it's like this is gonna be a sick ass wedding.
Yeah,
you should have fun. And
have like planned this whole evening for everyone to be like spoiled and taken care of and just like enjoy that.
Don't be like annoyed with someone
else. And that's probably just a metaphor for just everything
life.
In
I
life
know.
Is like
it
we're
is.
Just so lucky to be healthy and happy, and we're like constantly finding ways to feel cheated or like we need more or like that person's got this or whatever. And it's like, why don't you just fucking drink your fucking coffee
and have, well, because like when I have a huge, you know, if like when I have like a huge career moment, I am always telling myself like, make sure you're in the moment and have fun. Mm-hmm. That is something that's like constantly, like when I do late night, I'm like, have fun. That's like the most important thing, because like, I know if I'm having fun, then the set will be good. And that's, you know, that can go for auditions or pitches, whatever. Just like have fun.
Well, that's
be
also
yourself.
Going back to the crumble. It's like the point where you're crumbling is that you're not actually having fun. You're like the wave is taking over you and you're pretending like you're still on the surfboard.
And then it's over and you're like, oh my God, that was a disaster and I had no fun.
Yes.
So at least you have fun and it's a disaster, whatever. Yeah. And so that stuff I take into like big moments, but it's something I forget in my day to day.
Yeah.
Like I'm just like stressed. And it's like, well, I don't know why I give these big moments. Of course, they deserve, you know, some sort of like TLC.
Yeah.
But I can also have fun and be myself every day. Like
yeah.
it doesn't have to be shitty that I'm the one sort of in control of that. I mean, I also just restarted therapy, so I think you can hear
oh,
a lot
awesome.
Of that.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Ooh, that's a spicy tip.
Yeah.
Therapy is a spicy ass
so
tip.
Therapy is so good. And
did you get a new therapist?
I got a new therapist.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Awesome.
And I really love her. And I also am at the point now, I've had 4 therapists in my life that I know what kind I need.
Mm-hmm. What are the top qualities?
A woman.
Yeah.
Who is compassionate and older than me.
Yeah.
That's it.
I mean, were you ever with younger therapists?
I was with a woman once who was like my age. Fuck? And like, I just kept being like, does she think I'm cool? Like, I hope she, and I would like, I was like, I hope you like me. And she'd be like, why is that important to you? And it's like, bitch, because I don't know. Something's wrong with me.
And she's like, I'm just finishing my calculus and I'll be yeah. right with you.
No, she was like, I mean, I think she was maybe a little bit older than me, but she was like, uh-oh, she was a peer.
Yeah.
And a peer.
She was obviously hot because you wanted her to like you.
No, she wasn't even hot.
Oh, shit.
That's why I couldn't be like, why do I care if you like me? You're not even hot. You know, you're not allowed to say that. But I mean, my therapist in New York was like a Chico's ad walking. And I just really connected with her. Like,
and
I'm
then,
like, she saved my
she's
life.
In New York, so you don't want to FaceTime.
No, she was in New York. And we did it. We FaceTimed a little bit when I first moved here. But she really was like, I think it would be good for you to like find someone.
Would you share like sort of the thing that you swim around in therapy? My things are probably around control, judgment, a little mm-hmm. bit of desperation, fighting the idea of like that one opportunity is
yeah.
the thing, which I think I'm in a good direction of, but like, you know, in the anxiety moments, mm-hmm. like even with desperation, to do with like, as we embark on this trip to Vallarta, I've never been to the clinic. So everything kind of like feels fake. Like I've been corresponding with them and sending them blood tests and then getting medication and stuff like that. But like, I just feel nervous that like, it's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. But just in therapy, we were talking about just how this is like this high stakes thing, but it's also yeah. very low stakes because the drive is there regardless of what the result is. That
right.
I want to be a parent.
Right.
And it's like, there's all sorts of ways of being a parent. And this one version of it is like, great if it happens. And at the same time, if it doesn't, it's like, we're not desperate.
Yeah. God, that's like so much. I'm not even at that point yet. Because
but it's so much, right?
But it like that, I mean, I was talking to a friend recently and they were like, yeah, my therapist was like, my fear is like, I was worried I was going to have a panic attack on a flight. And their therapist was like, okay, so what if you do?
Yeah.
Like that's,
yeah,
you're not going to crash the plane, you yeah. know, like you'll have a panic attack on the flight. People have panic attack.
It's these like buildings that we've built in our mind of like that have these natural flowing staircases that take us from one floor to the next. And all of a sudden you're on the eighth floor of this fake building
yes.
being like, how Ooh. Am I getting down? And your therapist is like, bitch, you're on the floor.
Right.
Look around.
I have like fake fights in my head in the shower all the time. Like if I'm in the shower, I'm fighting with someone who doesn't even know we're fighting. That's just like my space to do it. But when I go into therapy, I mean, when you start with a new therapist, the thing that's hard is you're like, God, I got a lot of characters to introduce, you know?
Yeah.
Like, we haven't even yeah. gotten to CJ yet because I go in and I'm like, this is what I'm like dealing
but
with.
But really, it's all you anyway.
Of course. Yeah. I'm the lead. I'm the series regular.
Well, you're the
regular.
Person that's like, yeah, you're the series regular. And also, like, you're the psychology to break down. No matter who the characters that you're introducing, it's always going to be about the lens that's
yes,
like,
true.
You know?
True. But like, my brothers were not even there. You know, like I love them. We're not going to have a lot to dig into,
mm-hmm.
but like, I don't even, she knows I have brothers. She doesn't know their name. She doesn't know they're a realtor and a lawyer. We're not even there. We go, it's mostly like, I'll be like, I'm dealing with XYZ.
That's going to change everything.
Yeah.
She's like, well, knowing
oh,
that your brother just closed a big real estate deal.
I go in with one thing in mind and then they're like, sounds like we need to deal with some stuff with your parents, like
yeah.
everything sort of. And I, my last therapist,
and you're
I
like,
was
no,
like,
the manager at the
yes,
fucking store.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was almost like too defensive. Like the therapist brought up stuff about my family dynamic that I actually was not ready to hear and deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I just fired her.
Next week with Megan Gailey. We talk to Megan Gailey, but also we talk to Ursula Fry. So here's a preview of that.
No, I'm not having any tattoos. Forget about it. No tattoos.
What
for
if
me.
I paid you $100,000 to get a tattoo? As well as this chat.
And I tried to cry this year. We were at the grocery store like buying stuff for the Super Bowl, and I was like, CJ, I'm gonna need a minute. And I like went and stood by the like Vaughn's Starbucks and I couldn't even squeeze a tear out.
When you're gonna want to stick around for this.
Yeah, when we got married, I signed a 1-year contract. And then we gotta send in our marriage certificate. I haven't even done that yet.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production.
Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Forever Dog Team and liking our page on Facebook.